If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today, you'll hear a closer look at all the questions surrounding the Trump administration's relationship with Russia. Then, the HE band's Sid Butler chats with Craig Finn of the Hold Steady. But first, here's Seth.
The investigation into the Trump campaign's alleged ties to Russia escalated last week when Trump's former national security advisor offered to testify in exchange for immunity. And that, of course, set off a flurry of angry Trump tweets over the weekend. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. This is very important. As of right now, there's still no conclusive evidence connecting the dots that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to help him win the election. But there are so many dots. We are covered in dots. The Trump presidency is basically a six-year-old with chicken pox. And the rest of us are so itchy. Now, one of those dots is General Michael Flynn. You might remember Flynn as the guy who set a record for shortest tenure as national security advisor after it turned out he had lied about his conversations with the Russian ambassador. He was also the guy who encouraged lock-her-up chants at the Republican National Convention. Well, these days, Flynn is apparently trying to make sure he doesn't get locked up.
General Michael Flynn, who served as Donald Trump's national security advisor for less than a month before being fired for lying about his contacts with Russia, is reportedly trying to cut a deal.
Michael Flynn has told the FBI and congressional officials investigating the Trump campaign's potential ties to Russia that he's willing to testify in exchange for immunity.
We have a statement from his lawyer tonight. It says this. It says General Flynn certainly has a story to tell, and he very much wants to tell it.
And that's a big deal because Flynn doesn't exactly look like a guy who likes to tell stories.
But the wolf couldn't blow down the house, so we called in air support and blew those little pigs straight to hell. Sleep tight.
So Flynn claims he has a story to tell. On Friday, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer was asked about that ominous statement and whether it meant Flynn might implicate the president or any of his team in any wrongdoing, and tried to act cool about it.
General Flynn's attorney said that his client has a story to tell. Is the White House concerned that General Flynn has damaging information about the president, his aides, his associates, about what occurred during the campaign with respect to Russia?
Nope.
He said nope so fast it was like he swallowed a cigarette and then his mom asked him if he'd been smoking. Nope. Now, there's been a lot of speculation and uncertainty about what exactly a request for immunity means. Does it mean Flynn is worried about criminal prosecution, or is he just afraid he can't get a fair hearing? There's a lot of conjectures swirling around, and I just wish someone would tell us straight up, what does it mean when you're given immunity?
When you are given immunity, that means that you've probably committed a crime.
Great. Thank you, Mike Flynn. But on the other hand, let's be fair. Some people might argue that you might need immunity for other reasons, not just because you're guilty of a crime. Again, I just wish there was someone we could ask to clear this up.
If you're not guilty of a crime, what do you need immunity for?
There you go. Excellent points. These are all excellent points. Of course, you'll be shocked to find that Trump has had a change of heart when it comes to immunity. Now he thinks it's great and shows you've done nothing wrong.
President Donald Trump just tweeted the following: Mike Flynn should ask for immunity in that this is a witch hunt. Excuse for a big election loss by media and Dems of historic proportion.
Okay, but I don't know if I would take legal advice from Donald Trump. Remember, he's been involved in more than 3,500 lawsuits. And just to give you a sense of what 3,500 looks like, here's a photo of 3,500 people. Still small things. Now, the Flynn situation seems to be weighing on Trump and distracting him from his other duties. In fact, on Friday, Trump held a signing ceremony in the Oval Office where he spoke to reporters before signing some new executive orders. But as soon as he was done with his introduction, he just walked out of the room without signing the orders, leaving Vice President Mike Pence to chase after him.
Thank you, everybody. You're going to see some very, very strong results very, very quickly. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Were you trying to tell the Justice Department to grant immunity to Michael Flynn? Yes.
Trump just wandered off like a confused bear who woke up from hibernation too early. Snow. Trump is clearly bothered by the mounting questions about his potential ties to Russia, and so, as usual, he's lashing out about completely unrelated fake controversies. Like this morning when he tweeted, "Did Hillary Clinton ever apologize for receiving the answers to the debate? Just asking." Well, first of all, she received questions in advance, and it was during a Democratic primary debate, not the general election. Second of all, if someone did give her the answers, you should thank them, because maybe you forget, but she didn't pass. But if Trump really thinks all of this speculation about his ties to Russia is a total scam, there's one very easy way he could clear up at least some of the concerns. That's by releasing his tax returns, because right now, there are major unanswered questions about his potential financial dealings with Russians. But apparently, he gets his taxes done at H&R Block because Trump's excuse for not releasing any of his tax returns so far has been that they're under audit. But his 2016 returns, the ones that are due in less than 2 weeks, can't possibly be under audit yet. So if there's no audit excuse for these returns, why won't the White House release them? Spicer was asked that question on Friday.
Why will the White House not be releasing the president's 2016 tax returns, given that conceivably those can't be under audit yet, while the audit has obviously been the reason for why you haven't released those past returns?
The president's been very clear about his tax returns and his position on that.
If the audit is not the reason,
I didn't say
returns.
But you're also
there can't be an audit of
right. But you also remember that taxes aren't due until the 15th of April.
So can we expect them?
I don't know. We haven't really gotten into. I'm worried about getting my own done.
I'm worried about getting mine done, and see, I'm almost finished. I almost feel bad for Sean Spicer. You know that moment your girlfriend sees a text on your phone and says, "Who's Lisa?" That moment is his whole life. But seriously, Sean, are we ever going to see those tax returns?
Nope.
Now, of course, with all of these questions swirling, Trump would like us to focus on his fabricated scandal about Obama supposedly wiretapping him. Tweeting over the weekend, the real story turns out to be the surveillance and leaking. And when will Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd at NBC News start talking about the Obama surveillance scandal and stop with the fake Trump-Russia story? You're calling Chuck Todd Sleepy Eyes? If the bags under your eyes were any bigger, you'd have to check them at the gate. They should inflate when you're in a car accident. You always look like you just drank a bottle of NyQuil in the sauna. Now, as you may recall, the Republican who was supposed to be investigating Trump and the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes made a big show of announcing that he had seen evidence that intelligence officials conducted what's called incidental surveillance on Trump associates. But instead of sharing that evidence with his own committee, he ran to the White House to brief Trump. Then it came out that Nunes got the evidence from the White House in the first place, resulting in this absurd scenario.
He goes to the White House and gets these documents from White House officials. The next day, he calls his press conference saying, "I've got these secret documents showing surveillance, and I've got to run back to the White House and brief them on the very documents the White House handed him the day before.
So the White House gave Nunes the information, and then he brought it back to them. So basically, he's a golden retriever. So while the Trump White House chases its own tail on this wiretapping story, the Russia investigation continues to escalate, and Trump's legislative priorities, like health care, continue to get sidetracked. Trump's inability to back down from false claims and his insistence on punching back when he's under attack have paralyzed his government. As the New York Times reporter explained,
the White House has been unable to get out of its own way on this. And part of that, as you know, is that this president, when he feels like he is under attack, he attacks back. But now he's punching at ghosts and hitting himself in the face.
Or at least he thinks those are ghosts. Father, no! Trump also seems to be hitting himself somewhere it really hurts, the polls. His approval ratings have dipped to record lows, and even though most polls do show Trump's voters sticking with him for now, there seem to be some signs of frustration among some Trump supporters with his penchant for tweeting baseless allegations like the wiretapping claim.
Show us the proof. Don't tweet it. Nobody got in that building and set up wiretaps in that building. He knows it. He won't admit it. And that's the kind of stuff that angers me.
It seems like once he got in there, all he wants to do is play golf and take vacations and tweet. You're supposed to be the president of the United States. Act like the president of the United States. Don't act like some bragger, some spoiled little rich kid, which you are.
Damn. Sean Spicer, does the White House have any response to that?
Nope.
This has been A Closer Look.
Thanks for listening to the Late Night Podcast. Next up, we'll go backstage at Studio HG to hear an interview between Sid Butler, the bassist of our very own HE band, and Craig Finn of the Hold Steady. And one more thing, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for more exclusive interviews like this one.
Welcome, Craig. I'm Sid Butler, the bass player of the HE band. I'm also the bass player of a band called Les Sauvifaves and founder of French Kiss Records. I'm here with Craig Finn.
Founder and singer of Lifter Puller, as well as the Hold Steady, and a longtime friend of Sid Butler's, and also a former guest of a week-long guest of the HE band, which was really fun.
Which was awesome. We were happy to have you.
Yeah, that was fun.
So I've known Craig a long time, and he was one of the first people I met on tour. Years ago, we played, funny enough, with Eli's band, Girls Against Boys. And Craig and his band Lifter Puller, their time with the only band that showed up to see us play.
Yeah. That we were, it's funny, we were aware of Les Sauvifaves kind of early. Like the record, the first record, which I believe came packaged in a shower cap.
It came packaged in a shower cap, yeah.
And we were hip to that record somehow, which isn't to say somehow, but I feel like we got in on it early. Like we knew about it. I mean, we knew what we were into, which was things like, well, like Les Sauvifaves, or like Brainiac, edgy. Lifter Puller and Les Sauvifaves, I feel like when we met, it made a perfect sense. You know what I mean? Like, and sure enough, our record ended up on Sid's label, French Kiss, which was the second release.
Yeah, it was. It was the second release, and one of our favorites. And then years later, when I got the job at Seth Meyers, and having a beer with Seth Meyers, I asked him what his favorite band was, and he said the Hold Steady, which felt even. Was amazing, but also sort of full circle that here we are years later playing bunch of punk rock indie kids playing on a late night show. Yeah. And the host's favorite band is Craig's band.
And, which, tying it more, all you know, there's, I guess in some ways I think if you hang out long enough, these all things all tie together. It's kind of like if you stay up late enough, you know, like things will happen at the end of the party. Fred Armisen, the drummer of the HE band, it was another friend of Lifter Puller's. I met him in, you know, the mid-90s, his band Trench Mouth. So Lifter Puller is playing with Les Sauvifaves, which featured Sid and Seth, Trench Mouth, which featured Fred, and also played at least one show with Girls Against Boys, which was Eli's band. So there haven't been that many guest vocalists, have there?
No, there's been... not that many. Right. As I look up 512 shows later, I'm like, well, there's...
Is that how many there have been? 512?
I think we're 512 today.
And, wow. Is there one that's the most memorable?
Yeah, there have been different milestones for us. I think we really liked the show that actually Seth has brought up a lot, too, which was a show that Ad Rock was on. Mm-hmm. And Kit Harington from Game of Thrones was on and did a video... where winter was coming, he played a bad dinner guest because he kept saying that winter was coming. And I think that show was sort of a turning point. It also was nice having him go back to the desk.
Yeah.
Because his show just flowed a little better.
Right, right. And that happened after our first appearance. And the whole study's been on twice. And then I've been on, this is my second time as a solo artist. But yeah, it seems like the past year especially, the show has, I don't know if you guys feel it, but the show feels like it's gone spectacular in the past.
I think it's been the fastest 3 years,
yeah.
You know, of my life in terms of working. It's sort of a blink of an eye how quickly this 3 year turnaround. I think the show is sort of firing on all cylinders, and we all wake up and pinch ourselves and can't believe that that years later we're sitting here doing this podcast, and we're all friends. And you know, even the AG band, I've known everyone in that band. I've known Eli since I was 14. I've known Seth since I was 18.
Yeah.
I've known Marnie since I was 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's been a real, when I first moved to New York, I met Marnie Stern.
Oh, wow. So one of the things that I got from my week here was one of the coolest things as a musician was to have somewhere to go at a certain time every day. Do you feel that way?
I love it. I feel like I'm getting on a cruise ship that doesn't go anywhere, but I love the cruise ship.
Right.
You know, I get to hang out with all the cruise directors and the people on the show. But as a musician and not having to tour, in grueling tour, not sort of high-class touring, but stinking up in a van for 6 weeks, I'm glad that I can get to go home to my wife and kids and tuck them in.
What struck me about that week was, going to somewhere, as being a professional musician for a while, having a place to go, like showing up at noon and going to work, and then... And that was nice. That week was, I was here the week before Christmas, so it's really nice to come to Rockville Center on Christmas. But also, the idea of building something every day and getting to this, and then the show being over, and everyone kind of scatters quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. That struck me as how quick it was over and gone, and then it's just moving on to the next day. It's nice because you don't have much to bring homework or whatever.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool energy about spending the week here.
Oh, cool. Thank you. I want to bring back to something about your guest vocaling for the week. We were so happy to have you because you're such a prolific writer. And how the HD band works, we have to write the songs for between 12:30 and 2:30, whatever the songs are for the day. So it could be 5 pieces of music or 9 pieces of music or 11 pieces of music. And you were so wonderful coming into that high-pressure, 2.5-hour writing session and coming up with some great lyrics that seemed like full, complete songs. And then you had the capacity to not be precious with them. And the next day, we had to write a whole new batch of songs. And I was so amazed with how quickly words came to you. And not just words that were like, hey, girl, come over to my house.
Right.
But like words you could chew on and really... And want to taste. So I was really impressed with that, Craig.
Thank you. I think as my writing style has changed, that's become easier. Where I try to write more and let go of more, meaning I throw more songs away, but I write them quicker.
Right.
And I feel like that made it well suited for the gig. And it was. It's quick. I mean, it's like, all right, that's a song.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa. You know, sometimes I'd have the first verse and I'd come back here after and write the second verse. But I knew the phrasing and I knew where it was going. But it's quick, and I think that's the spectacular thing about it, and it's intellectually challenging, and that's something that's really nice. Not everyone gets that at their job.
Well, we were all stunned how quickly you formed songs. Some other guest vocalists brought their style, and it was a little more of their personality, but it was less of about the writing of the song.
Right.
And we take a lot of pride in actually the songs that we write for that day, so you did a great job of helping us complete those.
There's some good stuff in that week. Eli just sent me a link.
We've been teasing about putting out a holiday record or like a charity record all the proceeds would go to charity, but we'd love to have you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be a real full circle.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're so excited to have you tonight.
I'm happy to be here. Excited I've got the band I made a record with that just came out. We All Want the Same Things. It's called. Super excited to have these guys playing with me, and really excited for it.
Anyway, always a pleasure, Craig.
All right, Thank you.
Like we're on video. I gave Craig a big hug, kiss on both cheeks, did a high five and a chest bump.
Yeah, I vouch for it.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.